Once when I was at the playground with my children, I saw a dad who was waiting with his son for some space to clear up higher up on the jungle gym. He was the only parent in that particular area, and so while helping his son to wait patiently, he also helped some of the other children make their way safely to the top. And then even after his own son had reached the high platform, he kept helping the others, spotting them so that they wouldn't be hurt if they fell, or giving them a hand if they were a little unsteady on the way up. Eventually, another dad came jogging up when he saw his daughter getting some assistance, and he thanked the first father and apologized for not being there. But the first dad simply smiled and shrugged and said, "Hey, we're all in this together." And we are. We're all in this together. It's true for parents on the playground. It's true for us as a church. It's true for our nation. And it's true for the world that is watching us. We're all in this together. On Wednesday morning, I saw a plea on Facebook. "I want to be with my church family." Some people were just waking up to find out the results of the presidential election. Others had barely slept all night. All of us, whether the election went the way we had hoped or the way we had feared, all of us were being confronted with the reality that we are right now a deeply divided nation. The reactions that have followed in the days since have highlighted this division: protests by some, hate-filled graffiti by others, confidence that a new day is coming, and fear that we don't know what that new day will bring. It's the kind of thing that could drive people apart. But here at Fox Valley Presbyterian Church, it didn't. An email went out, a Facebook announcement was posted, and by 3 p.m, a group had gathered and begun to talk in the lower gathering space. It wasn't a partisan gathering. It was neither gleeful nor angry. It was the body of Christ coming together and simply acknowledging, we're all in this together. And also asking, what are we going to do now? Baptism is the church's sign that we're all in this together. We come to the body of Christ through the waters of baptism, and these waters don't discriminate between rich and poor, educated and uneducated. These waters don't keep us out because of skin color or sexual identity. They aren't waters only for Democrats or Republicans or independents or third or fourth or fifth party members. All of us are united to Christ and to one another in the sacrament of baptism, and we are made part of one body. So we are in it together. When the Israelites were ready to pass through the waters of Jordan at the end of their wilderness wanderings, Moses had some important words to deliver. "Listen up," he said to the people of Israel. "Hear, O Israel." It wasn't just a gentle invitation. It was a command. It was an alert. It was a cry to the people to pay attention, because the words that would follow, they were going to be crucial words for the way life is to be lived together. The people needed to know these words as they were going to make their way through the water. They needed to know them as they entered the promised land. They needed to know them and keep them central, keep them always in front of them and in front of their families, especially in front of their children, whose lives and minds and beliefs would be forever shaped by the way they heard the adults in their community talking. So it's a good commandment for us to do. for we who have come through these baptismal waters, for we who have promised even today to care for Grayson and Ellery and Finley in our family of faith, for we who are living in tense times. Listen up, Moses says. God's going to tell us how we should live as partners in God's covenant. And this family, as we are formed by the water and the Spirit. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our only God. And the Lord has some important things for us to do. Moses goes on to say that we are supposed to love God with all that we are and all that we have and all that we do. We are called to show our love for God by following God's commands, not least among them, Jesus tells us, to love each other. The command to love those who are foreigners among us and different from us. God's command to welcome and protect the most vulnerable among us. It strikes me today that this commandment had to be directed to the adults in the room. Granted, most of Scripture assumes an adult as the primary audience, but it's the adults who clearly have to be told to keep the commandment to love God and honor God's covenant. It's the adults who have to be urged to say these holy words over and over again. And it's the adults in the Gospel of Luke who have to be prompted to let the children, let the less privileged, let those who are ignored into the circle. It's the adults who need to be reminded that the children are watching what we're doing and listening to what we're saying. The way we live before them matters, because it's how they learn what is holy, what is right, and what is acceptable. And yet God's commandment through Moses doesn't come in this only for parents section of Scripture. It's not just set aside for those who are raising children in their homes. It's not that elusive instruction manual we are all looking for so desperately. It's not just for those with immediate responsibility to care for little ones day by day. Hear, O Israel, is for the whole community, the whole people of God, because we're all in this together. It's the call and the command to the community of faith. It's the community's responsibility to teach our children about God and God's love for us all. It's the community's responsibility to recite these words by heart, to talk about them, to talk about God, and to tell our children the stories and promises of God's love for them and the world. It's the whole community's responsibility to welcome, as Jesus does, the children among the people of God. And here in Luke, I don't think it just means the babies and the toddlers and the school children and the youth that we are so grateful to have running up and down the ramps in the gathering space or packing the Sunday school classes or the Growing Place preschool. We talked about this in one of the Women's Circle Bible studies this week, that childhood in biblical times isn't like childhood today. Childhood in biblical times was a time of great vulnerability. Children were often considered only for their economic value, how much they could provide when they would be older, how they would care for the elderly when they were the adults. Until anyone knew how valuable they would be later on, in some ways they were just one more mouth to feed. And in both the ancient Greek and Roman cultures of the day, the patriarch of a family or the leader of a household even had the power to decide if a newborn would be kept in the house or left outside to die. A decision that would largely be made based on economics or the perceived health of the newborn, any obvious physical abnormalities, or even the sex of the child. The children Jesus welcomes are the people the culture is willing to throw away. So who are those people for us today? Who are we tempted to dismiss? Who are we all too willing to ignore? Who do we judge only based on their economic value? Who are we willing to push to the proverbial curb where there is no protection, where there is no solidarity, where there is no safe space? Because Jesus says we should welcome these. Jesus says to such as these, the kingdom of God belongs. Jesus says we are to love even and especially these. I know that it can feel like a daunting task, and we don't know when, and we don't know how, and we don't know where to start. Sometimes even when we're just talking about the children among us, we're afraid our words will be misconstrued, that our actions, instead of communicating love, will offend those around us. Many of us think to ourselves or even say to one another, I don't know enough. Somebody else speaks to children better than I do. Let them do it. I'm going to mess it up. Or maybe if I learn a little more, I'll be able to do a little more. Or I don't really see a lot of children, a lot of vulnerable people, a lot of immigrants or minorities or Muslims. I don't have a chance to show them love anyway if I don't see them. But in reality, it's not nearly as hard as we make it. Moses tells us how we should do it. He says we do it by heart. And I don't mean memorization, but truly by heart. We're supposed to love these kids, these children who are made ours by the waters of baptism. We're supposed to love them so much they know that it is God's love. And we're supposed to love God so much you can see it coming from our hearts. You can hear it coming from our lips. You can feel it coming from our very souls. We're supposed to love the whole family of God with whom we share this creation the way we love our own families. We're supposed to remember that we're all in this together. We're called to work together against disregard and division, against ignorance and indifference, against especially outright hatred, racism, and violence. And we're supposed to do this when we're at home and when we're away. We're supposed to do this when we're sleeping and when we're waking. In other words, there is no designated time. It isn't just in Sunday school or worship. It's not just in Fisher Folk or FOTC. It's not only at the community dinner or when we serve at Lazarus House, but all of these places are a great place to start. But it is also our call to love God by keeping God's commandments of love when we walk down the street or ride the train. It's our call when we witness someone being mistreated because their English isn't so clear or their customs are unfamiliar or their skin color is a different shade. Loving God by loving others. This is our call. This is God's commandment to us all the time. Loving God and teaching God's children is our full-time job. Loving God and seeking out the vulnerable is our highest responsibility. And we do it with the lives we live before them and with them. We do it by holding close to God's word, by keeping these words in our heart and in our lives. We do it by heart when we choose the way of Jesus in our thoughts, in our words, and in our actions, in the church and in our homes and in the schools and the community. We do it when we remember that we are the family of Christ, born through the waters of baptism, sealed by the Holy Spirit, marked as Christ's own forever, and when we act like that loving family. We do it by heart when we hear God's commandment and we teach it to our children. When we choose the way of love and forgiveness and justice over fear and revenge and retribution in all that we do, wherever we are. Because thank God, we're all in this together.